Hi, I'm David Gordon Green, and you are listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. And Kevin, I am just beside myself this week.
Yes? Okay, that's why you look so big.
Yes.
Because you gained pounds.
Literally two of myself. Oh, wow. Yeah, you're getting into the biggest reject loser. But we actually just watched a movie called Zombie Strippers.
Oh my lord, are you going to start going off on Zombie Strippers?
No,
you're leading the show with Zombie Strippers?
I know it doesn't come out until next week, and I know we can't review it quite yet, but I'm just in awe of the fact that I went to a theater and saw a movie starring Jenna Jameson called Zombie Strippers.
Because you've gone and seen movies with Jenna Jameson in the theater before.
Not in a theater.
Pee Wee Herman.
No. but literally, I was driving home and I could not believe, I was like, I cannot believe that I actually saw that in a theater with other people.
Were you driving along going, oh my god, I saw Zombie Strippers,
no.
Oh my god.
Wow.
And just saying that all your way home.
All right, cool. I'm done talking about this.
That's your shenanigans you're going to talk about.
We'll talk
more about Zombie Strippers. We're going to talk to Jenna Jameson.
We are.
But we won't have her quotes next week, though, because I'm going to talk to her. The scheduled interview is after
we record.
Show.
Oh, okay. Well, at some point during the next like 8 shows, we will have an interview with Jenna Jameson.
Yes.
But before we get to that, here's how you can get a hold of us. FatGuysAtTheMovies.com. You can also get us on iTunes, which I was just browsing iTunes while we were...
No Jenna Jameson on iTunes.
No Jenna Jameson on iTunes yet. You just search Fat Guys at the Movies, though, and we will come right up. If you'd like to email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, or if you would like to call us, 614-388-8735. Yes, that phone number still works, so... because I would just assume that people just don't think it works because no one calls us.
Yeah. No, I guess no one likes to call us.
Unless it's like a celebrity. I mean, Gerard Butler calls us all the time.
He called me on another number, actually.
Oh.
Sorry.
Lame.
Gerard.
Whatever.
Actually, he didn't call. The publicist called and then connected.
Like, hello, Kevin. Can I talk to you, Kevin?
Wait, it wasn't like a 12-year-old British kid.
I have Gerard Butler
Hello,
for you.
I have Gerard Butler on the phone for you. Would you like to talk to him? May I have some more, please?
Yeah. Well, speaking of 12-year-old British boys, we have a screening coming up. We're doing a screening of Son of Rambo. We don't have any like details yet.
Wow, I had no idea where this was going,
no,
and I was really terrified.
Whatever. But we're doing a screening of Son of Rambo in Columbus, so keep your ears tuned for that one. We don't have all the details yet. We don't have the passes either, but we do have that coming up in May.
And we're not doing a screening for another movie that was suddenly not having screenings.
Right.
So. That's an inside joke between me and Neil, and we just said it on the air.
Yeah.
Nobody
else
gets.
It wasn't even funny, so,
so
I feel really awkward now.
Let's give the biggest reject loser update.
Yeah, biggest reject. No. I don't want to talk about this.
You are not. You were a winner this week.
I was not a winner. I was a huge loser.
You were not a
loser.
You were, in fact, the opposite of loser. You were a gainer, maybe? Can we say that?
Sure.
Right now,
I blame it on my roommate.
I blame it on the fact that you were drinking beer and eating nachos, and you know
it was good though.
You just had a big bucket of actual cooking lard, and you were eating that straight. And I said to you, I go, that's not good for weight loss.
Realistically, I think what needs to happen is I need to meet some kind of female who will be attractive, and then after that, I will want to lose the weight for that reason. Because beating you and Brian is something I could just do whenever.
I can't wait until we.
Until
I watch you two of you act out the last scene of There Will Be Blood.
Yeah, I think I just need some ulterior motivation.
Right now, though, Brian was the biggest loser this week. Good job for him. He lost 3 pounds. This week.
That's really sad.
Which was how many you gained.
I know.
Neil.
It's really sad that like 3 pounds is the winner for the week.
Well, no, well, it what that first week's always a big drop, and then it's a lot harder as you go on. I only lost one, which of course puts Brian as the winner of the week for both pounds lost and weight loss percentage body weight.
But you're still winning.
I'm still winning the
overall.
So
big deal. So we got a long way to go, man. Comic Con is in July.
That's right. And every time I see you, I'm trying to give you.
I had snow caps at the movie tonight.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and Diet Dr. Pepper.
Well, and I had rice cakes today, so.
Which smell terrible. By the way,
that's okay. I can
buttered popcorn rice cakes. I have not seen anything more disgusting since I saw zombie strippers. Kings.
Well, speaking of Street Kings, let's talk about Street Kings.
Shouldn't we play a trailer first or something?
Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Street Kings. Keanu Reeves plays a corrupt racist cop who goes beyond the law to find the thugs that killed his former partner.
What are you doing here, Tom?
I was just going to break his jaw.
Give me a green light to take out Washington's killers.
Let it go.
It wasn't a robbery. It was an execution.
Detective, you ever ask yourself, Washington's dead because he was dirty or because he came clean?
Are you formally investigating us?
I'm lighting a match and I'm gonna burn all of you.
This department washes its own laundry.
So we're just gonna go in there and kill him?
No, I'm gonna ask him some questions, then we're gonna kill him.
You know what I hate about a movie like this is it makes you think that
this point.
It makes you think that any dude from the street could be like some hardened gunfighting cop in like central LA and could just like beat everyone down. No, Keanu Reeves is like
Keanu Reeves would so get his ass handed to him.
Oh my god. It was funny because the publicist they always send out the next morning. You know, what did you think of this movie? I know you saw it. Like, they have, you know, the secret list. They know who's at the screening. And my response to Street Kings was this. It is the best parody of the year. Potentially of the last 10 years.
Yeah. Until Zombie Strippers comes out.
Until somebody parodies Zombie Strippers. But I don't think that's what they were going for. It literally was a soundtrack change away from being, like, Pineapple Express funny.
It was so... took itself so seriously and like everything was like such a macho confrontation.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of Point Break, which is a great sort of like early 90s kind of crazy action flick. But it's like people would be like, I want a sandwich. I want tuna. Okay, well, I'm going to have chicken salad. And like that's, they're just yelling about everything.
Yeah. It was really... It was a laughable experience. Unfortunately, it's not meant to be a laughable. It's supposed to be this no-holds-barred action romp through, you know, this gangsta flick. It literally is, it's like what happens after Training Day if things just go really silly.
Well, what's really funny about it is even the audience just, like, kind of was making fun of it. And just, I mean, they had a lot of fun. The audience had a lot of fun in it, but I think they had a lot of fun at its expense.
Right.
Like, for example, there's a character in the middle named, what was his name, Squishy or something like
Scribble.
That? Scribble. And it's played by Cedric the Entertainer. Yeah. And what's hilarious is they pull out a rap sheet. The first time you hear about him, they pull out a rap sheet, and there's Cedric the Entertainer's face, and the whole audience just
loses
busts up laughing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, in not a good way, because it's because they're like, it's Cedric the Entertainer. This is the thug life here for, you know. He's not the guy you bring in to really just get the hardened, you know, drug-dealing criminal in L.A.
Yeah.
You don't go to Cedric the Entertainer for that.
And I think what really frustrated me the most about this film is it's directed by David Ayer, who wrote Harsh Times, SWAT, Training Day, Fast and Furious, and U571. He directed. James Ellroy wrote this film, he wrote L.A. Confidential, he wrote Cop, he wrote The Black Dahlia. None of these are terrible films.
Well, The Black Dahlia was
But Street Kings
film.
Just falls apart. It is a silly, silly action movie. And I walked out of the theater. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Well, I did not believe that I just watched that.
I think they took all the lines from old action movies, old cop movies, wrote them on index cards and just went, whee!
Exactly. It was something like that. Together. I mean, so I'm giving it a total.
I'm giving it a sucks.
I'm giving it a sucks because there's just no way. Like,
let's just go to break.
Yeah.
Here we are. We're dancing here in
we're
studio
down.
In the sky. Yeah,
man. Disco.
That's right. We got magical disco in the sky.
Just waiting for the chicks from ABBA to show up.
That's
they
right.
were hot.
Yeah, they were hot. They're probably
back
not as hot now. Yeah. I mean, it's
No, isn't there like a ABBA cover group that's out there now?
Well, there's Bjorn again.
Sure, why not?
They do all the ABBAs. I actually interviewed
hot
one
blonde
of
Swedish chicks. That's all I'm in it for.
I interviewed one of the singers from Bjorn again, and she was. It was really funny because she did the interview because they're characters. They play. They're like Kiss, you know.
Right.
Not exactly like Kiss, but in the same way where they have these extreme personas on stage, and so she did her interview in character.
Nice.
And they're like aliens or something like that who came down and inhabit Abba's body. I mean, cool. It's bizarre. But anyways, we're not going to talk about that or Mamma Mia, which looks like it's going to just blow, by the way. Mamma Mia. Man. Wow.
Hey, that's wait, no. I think it actually looks like it could be a little bit of fun.
You know what? I saw the stage play. My wife and I went and saw the one Broadway.
Mamma Mia, Mamma Mia. Yeah.
Well, no, that's not it. That's
here
Queen.
I go again. No, that's it.
No, no. Damn it. Well, it sounded like it's... Whatever. We're not going to try and sing ABBA here. But I saw Mamma Mia in the theater, theater, and I honestly couldn't tell you how it ended. Really? That is how little of an impact that show made on me.
Cool.
My wife loved it, though.
I can't wait to see how the movie ends.
So do I. I'm like, I don't know who's the father. So anyway, but no, we're not going to talk about this. As you noticed from our funky... Get Down Disco Madness we had going on.
We're
going to talk
about a horror film?
We're going to talk about Prom Night.
Nice.
It's All Right, which they held from critics, but we're going to talk a little bit about it. In this movie, an obsessive killer slashes through a bunch of high school students on the night of their prom.
Okay, everyone, Bridgeport High's prom king and prom queen are...
Lisa! Lisa!
Years ago, this guy, he got obsessed with a young female student. He went psycho. He's been in a maximum security prison up until 3 days ago.
Claire?
Now, Neil, have you seen the original Prom Night?
No, but I have a feeling you have.
I did. And,
oh,
and
wow,
the reason, because they didn't screen it for critics, which, of course, it automatically is going to get a preemptive suck.
Totally.
But
it'll probably get the full on suck tomorrow after you see it.
Well, you know what's funny is the Australian paper, because it opened in Australia before the day before it opened in America, actually gave it 4 out of 5 stars. Who paid this guy? That's what I want to know.
He didn't even see it. They held it from critics.
They held it from critics in America.
I was gonna say he's writing
apparently
it based on the trailer.
One critic in Australia liked this movie.
Yeah, it's 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yes. So, but anyways. I said, you know, I don't want to go on the radio and not talk about Prom Night, so at least I went and saw the original. And it can't be any worse, is kind of what that's
it's
my...
It's got Brittany Snow in it. She's pretty hot.
She's pretty hot. She looks a lot less mannish than Jamie Lee Curtis in the original.
Cool.
The thing is, Prom Night wasn't even a good movie back then. And was it Robert Fuhr on Film School Rejects that
Maybe.
Was talking about how... They're not just remaking classics anymore.
In Boiling Point.
Yeah, they're remaking dumb movies. Like it's like the Amityville Horror.
I'm just waiting for the remake of Troll 2. That's all I need.
There's actually
Troll 2 is a cult
Troll 2
classic.
Was
they
awesome.
Need to re- but
Neil
that's
Bogg.
What I'm waiting for. They need to remake Troll 2, not Troll 1, Troll 2.
No, there's a contest going on.
There
about people
to
remake
Troll 2 again.
Yes, we'll talk more about that later. Okay. Maybe or maybe not. We're probably sort of ADD here.
We're just planning stuff for
anyways,
segments that don't exist.
Yeah, but according to the director and Brittany Snow, it's not actually a remake. They just took the title. Kind of like House of Wax. Only Paris Hilton doesn't get stabbed in the head with a bar.
See, now I don't want to go see it. If you told me that Brittany Snow was in it and then Paris Hilton got stabbed in
but no,
the
Paris
head
Hilton's,
with an ice
no, no,
pick,
she was,
I would...
Oh, because she's not in it.
She's not in it, so why would I go see it?
I
mean...
It's rated PG-13. It can't be that good.
Man.
It's just going downhill,
this
isn't
is
it?
Just not... This movie's not winning with me right now.
That's
I
right.
I mean, not to say that it had a fighting chance to begin with, but there's nothing going in its direction. I mean, it had Brittany Snow, and from there, it's all downhill.
Yes.
So, whatever. Moving on to a movie that isn't terrible...
Okay,
Smart People. We're going to talk about that. A pompous English professor gets a second chance at love when he falls in love with a, what was the quote from Wikipedia?
Wikipedia actually says a horse-faced doctor.
A horse-faced doctor in the ER.
Vanessa, do you think I'm self-absorbed?
I think self-absorption's underrated.
My name is Professor Weatherhold. Because it's important that we all get to know one another, I would like you to wear these.
I've taken 2 other courses from you, and you still don't know what my name is, do you?
What is it?
Look, Miss Chen.
You just looked.
What the hell are you doing here?
Watching a documentary on snow apes.
Yeah, he's pretty sure he's going to move in and be your driver.
I'm here to help.
And as you can imagine, that horse face doctor, I don't know who write. It's funny, that's the beauty of Wikipedia.
It's things someone sneak really, in there. Somebody,
someone really doesn't like Sarah Jessica Parker.
And what's so funny about it is she actually looks pretty good in this movie.
Well, she's a good looking woman. I don't know. I mean, she's older, an older woman.
And also you have to light her correctly. If you don't, and they actually did a, no, seriously, they did an episode of Sex and the City once when it was actually on TV.
Yeah.
Where Carrie Bradshaw, the character, they took a picture of her for like New York Magazine, and they purposely took a picture of her looking bad.
Yeah.
And it kind of made a little bit of an inside joke on, well, Sarah Jessica Parker isn't the easiest person to photograph.
Well, you know, you don't underestimate the drawing power of the SJP, because she's a big deal.
Okay.
Around here. But anyways, she's not the focus of this
movie. Here in the magical
movie.
Studio in the sky.
Well, no. In the world.
In the world?
In the world.
There are people in Bangladesh saying, I need to go see the next.
When Sex and the City, the movie, makes like $8 billion this summer.
It's so not good.
You'll be eating those words. But anyways, we're talking about smart people here. It not only stars Sarah Jessica Parker, it stars Dennis Quaid, Thomas Hayden Church, and Ellen Page, who you'll remember was in Juno.
Honest to blog.
But personally, I saw this at Sundance, and then I went and saw it again when we had our press screening. It's just a really intelligent film, obviously.
It's the exact opposite of Street Kings, as well.
It's the exact opposite of Street Kings. It's one of those comedies that it's not laugh out loud funny. It's not a Judd Apatow film. It's one of those that you kind of laugh at afterwards, or you know, the jokes are just kind of highbrow. But the performances are really great. And
so basically, stupid people avoid this movie.
Exactly.
But I was waiting for you're digging a hole for yourself in the audience. If you're too dumb, you may not like this movie.
There are people that I wouldn't recommend go see this movie because they just won't get it.
Like who?
Like you. Yes.
I saw it. I got it. I thought it was good. Whatever. It's my pick of the week. But then again, it's up against one I haven't seen in Street Kings.
It really isn't. I think it's one of those movies that people should absolutely take a chance on just for the fact that the performances
are
so good.
Isn't that another ABBA song, Take a Chance?
Yeah, sure. But the performances, there's this really cool sub-story there between Ellen Page's character and Thomas Hayden Church's character. And Thomas Hayden Church really just steals the whole film.
He does. I'll give you that. I mean, he is actually the best part of the movie.
He's hilarious. I mean,
and Dennis Quaid's really good, too. It's just he's such an underplayed performance.
Yeah.
He gets does such a good job, and it's a generous acting job that he lets everybody else take the spotlight. But you can't underestimate his contribution to this movie.
Yeah, and I think there are moments that are funny, there are moments that are just very, for lack of a better term, smart, and it's kind of a heartwarming film in the end, and it's really, if you've ever been around people, the upper crust of academia, you kind of see that these people do exist. These people who are so into their own intelligence that they really are socially awkward, and I think that really comes through in the film about how, you know, it's about this professor who's very socially awkward because he just finds himself so intelligent, and
well, what I,
it's
what
about
I like,
getting him back down to earth a little bit.
What I liked about it from that respect, because you nailed it with that, is that it's one of those movies, it's another one of those sort of dysfunctional relationship movies, sort of like The Family Stone, only very different in terms of story. But I mean, that same kind of feeling where people, they don't get along and they're mean to each other, and they're really not the nicest people in the world, but you kind of they're interesting at least.
Uh-huh.
And there's a scene in there where he's in the emergency room and he's talking to Sarah Jessica Parker's character for the first time, and he says, well, I like my language to be, I like language that is precise. Mm-hmm. And she comes back at him and she says, well, shouldn't you then say you like precise language? And I'm like, that's perfect, because those are the kind of people that I hate. These are the people that will, like, if you send them a birthday card, they will correct your spelling on a birthday card. These are the people who, if you say, well, you know, irregardless of blah, 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 they'll be like, oh, irregardless really isn't a word. It's really regardless. And otherwise it'd be redundant to say. These are the people that are in this movie.
Yeah.
And they are so inept at dealing with life. Mm-hmm. That is just fun to watch him self-destruct into a certain degree. And then Thomas Hayden Church, who's an idiot, is the most...
I mean, not in real life. He's an idiot in the movie.
The character is an idiot, yeah. He, in he's the one who's actually got the most humanity.
Perspective on reality. And he really brings that cool kind of human tone to it. And he's like, the line at the end where he's like,
I'm glad I killed you all with a chainsaw.
He's like, you're socially retarded and we should be gay.
Okay. I guess really go see the movie, figure it out. I'm going to say it kind of rocks.
I'm going to say it totally rocks. We got to go to a break. Now, Kevin, I see something on the schedule here that makes me happy.
Oh,
but it's after box office.
All right.
So we'll have to wait to talk about it.
You're being about as vague as you were.
Yes.
With the quote that you used in the previous segment.
It's a really good quote.
It's a great quote, but it makes no sense.
There are so many of our listeners, all 12 of them, who are going to go see Smart People this weekend, and it's going to get to that line. They're going to be like, oh, that's awesome. What he was talking about.
I'll give you a good quote from Zombie Strippers.
Oh, no.
We have to do something about these zombie strippers because no one else is getting any stage time.
That was a good quote.
Guacamole. That's another good quote from Stage Trip. Zombie Strip.
Whatever
they were. You know, they can do a whole series, Vampire Stripper. They probably got Vampire Hookers. For some reason, that's rolling off my tongue. I don't know why I would want Vampire Hookers to roll off my tongue, but you got to do Vampire Hookers, you know, Werewolf Hookers.
I'm going to look these up now.
Mummy Hookers.
This could get bad.
Not mommy hookers. Mommy.
While we talk about the box office.
Okay, box office.
What happened last week?
Last week, as some people pretty much predicted, 21 did better than everything else.
By default.
The big surprise, though, is Leatherheads just had a soft opening and it got softer throughout the weekend.
Yeah.
It was originally slated. It said it came in second.
Mm-hmm.
But then when the final numbers came in, Nim's Island beat it out.
Right.
And what's funny is it's not that Nim's Island, they didn't even underrepresent Nim's Island's box office. They just really overestimated, like by $1 million, how much Leatherheads did. And so Leatherheads was coming in third. It's just not doing well, as I predicted.
Mm-hmm.
Horton Hears a Who still in there.
Good job.
Which beat out The Ruins.
Well, more people should have went and saw The Ruins.
I think so. I love that movie.
That was not a bad flick.
And it had.
It was pretty scary.
I think I mentioned once or twice on the website that it had Laura Ramsey naked.
Laura Ramsey was naked. She was our Who's That Hottie last week.
That's right.
I still haven't picked her this week. By the time the show airs, though.
By the time you hear the show.
It'll be online on FilmScore.
Do you know who the Who's That Hottie is? I'm going to take you for a prediction here. I think you should use the Keanu's girlfriend from
The Spanish girl from Street Kings.
Well, is she Spanish?
She's probably the only thing.
She's probably like either Mexican or Venezuelan.
She spoke Spanish.
She spoke Spanish. So, okay, there we go. Just because they speak Spanish.
She was Latino.
Let's do that. You go. That works.
That's a little shout out to our Latino contingent.
Unless she was Czechoslovakian who just happened to speak Spanish.
Maybe. But then again, Keanu Reeves is like the whitest guy ever who happens to like be a thug.
So. Hey, man, I'm a thug. I know Kung Fu.
Anyways, I would just like to say before we move on to what's going to happen this week at the box office.
Yes, sir.
That there is a movie called Vampire Hookers, and it was released in 1978, and it starred John Carradine, who is the father of David Carradine.
John Carradine.
So,
well, no, John Carradine is a classic movie. Yeah, he played Dracula back in the 40s.
Well, I had to put it in perspective because most of our listeners probably don't even know who David Carradine is. Kill Bill. He's the guy from Kill Bill.
Or you got is it Keith Carradine? Who's the guy from Revenge of the Nerds who eventually was on like played Lizzie McGuire's dad?
Keith Carradine.
No, not Keith Carradine. It's the other Carradine guy. The guy played Lewis.
Robert
Carradine. He's I think
he played Lewis Skolnick.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. He's like David Carradine's nephew. He's a nephew, or I don't know.
He's
what
his brother.
Is he not? No. He's not. He's not David Carradine's brother.
It says father of Bruce Carradine, David Carradine, Keith Carradine, and
he's
Robert
his half
Carradine.
Brother. He's his half brother. Because
half brother. Because
there was, believe it or not, this is a bizarre thing. There was an old Lizzie McGuire episode.
Okay.
Where David Carradine came in and caught kung fu to one of the kids, and when he left, Robert Carradine's like he's like a brother to me. It was a joke, but he's only his half brother, I think.
Whatever.
So. Anyways,
What are we talking about? Vampire hookers.
I'm sure it's. Can we rent it? Is it available on DVD?
I don't know. Maybe. So we'll have to get it.
We'll get it and not talk about it. We'll bootleg it
if we have to.
Yes, we'll look for it.
From 1978.
Anyways.
So, box office this week, we got to make predictions.
I think Prom Night.
Just let's put all the movies on index cards and throw them up in the air, and
we can write a script that way.
Whichever one lands face up is going to win. Who cares?
I think it's going to be Prom Night, and the only reason I think it's going to be Prom Night is it's PG-13, and PG-13 horror has been doing okay. The Ruins didn't do well, but
it was an R.
I think the R rating did hurt it for sort of like that high school crowd.
I don't know, man. Street Kings could win.
Yeah,
it
has a chance.
There's a lot,
but it doesn't have very wide of an opening.
There's a lot of white kids with saggy jeans that would go see this movie and really like it.
Nice.
That's what I have to say.
Well, okay.
See, I've just been prejudiced against my own race of.
But see, Street Kings is in
white kids.
Is in relatively few theaters. It's like in like 2,500 theaters. It's not very many. I think Prom Night's bigger. I don't know. Maybe Street Kings.
I'm picking Street Kings. You can pick Prom Night. We'll see who the winner is next week.
The winner gets a kiss from the movie, from the star of the movie that they picked. So I get a kiss, Brittany Snow. You can kiss Keanu Reeves.
I'd make out with Keanu Reeves.
You would?
Yeah,
oh, my Lord. I would pay money to see, just because I don't know what's gayer.
He's not a bad
you wanting
dude.
To make out with Keanu Reeves, or me saying I'm going to pay you.
Yeah.
This is a true story. This is actually a true story. A friend of ours who is a film critic who will remain nameless. He was telling me, because he's one of those people. It's not that he's not like homophobic, but homosexuality does kind of gross him out to see it. He's the kind of person who like won't run adult films because you see
penis.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
And
really, but I'm like, well, it's kind of hard to do a porno movie without at least a penis in there somewhere.
Oh, it's not. I've seen a lot of girl stuff that's quite interesting.
Like, I've seen lots of it, but half the time they pull out fake ones anyways.
What?
They pull out like...
Doesn't matter. That's
okay.
Fake. It doesn't
okay,
count.
But it's... Yeah, all right. Anyway.
It's just a shape.
So he's telling me about how disgusting it was, how much watching homosexual acts disgust him. And it got... How did it go? He was explaining to me that he had two friends, and they were talking about how... they weren't as disgusted. He said, "Well, would you make out with another guy?" And they said, "Well, yeah."
You or
no,
the
his two friends.
Okay.
And they said, "Well, yeah, if somebody paid me enough." And so he like said, "Oh, I'll give you $50 if you make out with each other for like 30 seconds."
Yeah.
And they did. And he's like, "Isn't that gay?" I go, "What's gayer is you had to pay each of them $50 to watch him make out for 30 seconds."
I don't know who you're talking about, but
he likes a lot of movies. I'll just say that.
Likes a lot of... Okay.
Okay, well, I'll tell you after. I'm not going to tell you on the air because I don't want to embarrass him.
But I will say that there's nothing gay about that.
There's nothing gay about paying two guys to make out.
I'd make out with Keanu Reeves. I'm not afraid. I'm secure in my sexuality. I like enough women, and I think...
I love women, but that doesn't mean I'm going to start making out with guys
to
prove
I'd always
it.
Come back to the well, but Keanu Reeves is a good-looking dude. Like, I don't.
That's great.
That's
good to know, Neil.
This is awkward.
It's good to know.
I would never make out with you, though.
I don't want you to make out.
Never.
I'm glad that's. I'm glad that's off the table.
If I'm gonna have to make out with a bunch of dudes,
okay. Can
I just
start naming actors, and you can tell me whether you're not. You
sure. Why not?
Cedric the Entertainer.
No way.
No way, because he's black.
Yeah, but we'd hang out though. We would party.
All right,
like, I'd be friends with Cedric.
Okay, let's check the whole black thing. What about like Michael J. White?
Who's that?
He was Spawn.
I don't know.
Okay. What about Taye Diggs? Did you make out with Taye Diggs?
Taye Diggs is all right.
He's a good looking guy.
Probably.
Yeah. Very good looking guy. What about Johnny Depp? We got a picture of Johnny Depp.
No, he's too creepy for me.
What if he was like Finding Neverland, Johnny Depp?
All right, maybe.
What about Ralph Fiennes? Nazi Ralph Fiennes?
Maybe.
You'd make out with a Nazi Ralph Fiennes.
Nazis are hot.
The fat Nazi Ralph Fiennes and Neil Miller making out.
Yep.
Would you make out with Jon Favreau?
Totally.
Would you make out with Michael Bay?
Hell yeah.
Oh, yes.
Speaking of Michael Bay.
Well, wait, okay, then let's move on. Michael Bay.
Oh, yes. That was such a great segue. Why wouldn't I make out with Michael Bay?
Because he's a dude.
He's Michael Bay, though.
That's great.
He's only the greatest director ever.
Actually, I believe it was Uwe Boll who called him What do you call him? A retard?
I don't know what he called him. Uwe Boll is awesome.
Would you make out with Uwe Boll?
No, but I would fight him if I had to.
Would you fight him? And if he beat you, you'd have to make out with him. Would you still fight him?
Well, no, because
he
probably
he would kick your ass. What do you tell you? Like, oh no, he wouldn't be. He like boxed in college.
Yeah, but
and he spends his time beating up film critics
instead of making good movies.
He doesn't spend any time making good movies.
Yeah, exactly. But we're talking about Michael Bay. You have to introduce this clip.
Okay, we
got
a clip.
I've been waiting this whole segment. This is like 10 minutes worth of talking about dudes I would make out with so that we could play the Michael Bay clip. Just talk about the Michael Bay thing.
Would you make out with David Gordon Green?
He was cool.
He's not exactly the most attractive.
I would hang out with the dude. Like, he's the kind of dude that I would like go to a film festival and like have drinks with because he's just such a cool dude.
And then make out.
I don't know. No. Depends on how many drinks.
If Michael Bay wanted you to make out with David Gordon Green,
I would do anything for Michael Bay. Would you? Let's just put it out there.
Wow. Okay. Anything? We'll talk in the internet only segment about all the things that Neil would do if Michael Bay requested. Anyways, a couple weeks ago, we had a chance to interview David Gordon Green.
Who was a cool guy, by the way.
Really cool guy. I'm not going to make out with him. And I'll be secure in the fact of saying I'm not going to make out. Take Kate Beckinsale? Yes. I would totally make out with him.
You know, that's a given.
But right after she ate some sushi. But we, so we got a chance to interview David. He came through town, to the Ohio State University to show his movie Snow Angels. And we had a chance to talk with him about Snow Angels and interview him. And right at the tail end of the interview, we're not going to play all that stuff because who cares? Yeah. The more important thing, we it turns into this thing where he's explaining this video line that he wants to start doing for direct DVD. And it goes off into a Michael Bay discussion. It has some audio glitches because we were far away from the mic, so I had to boost it.
Don't have to explain. Just play the clip.
But here's the clip.
I'm trying to start kind of a genre label of straight-to-video action movies. Use Roger Corman and the William Castles as models for what can be done with low budget rather than just trying to fill a video shelf. Why don't you use people that are young and hungry and talented? Mm-hmm. Use it as a launch pad for the new artists of, right. You know, the Michael Bays of tomorrow.
There you go. That's awesome that you just mentioned Michael Bay, by the way.
He's got a very inappropriate affection.
I need to hear about that. I saw Transformers three times in the theater. Is that good or bad?
I always argue. I love Transformers. But I always argue with people because there's the Michael Bay haters out there. But I always argue that at least he's a guy that makes movies that he likes.
Oh, man. He is. You know? I tell you this. You can fault him for corn cheese ball all day, but he is a guy that is dedicated. He's one of the true passionate. I mean, like, there was the year that Bad Boys 2 and Jerry came out. I was like, Gus Van Sant and Michael Bay are the two guys that are making their own movies, blazing their own trails. Nobody's going to tell them no, and I can't wait to see what they do next.
I'll give Michael Bay credit. He doesn't go outside of what his strength is. If you want somebody to blow shit up.
Well, he does. He goes like outside. His strength is not comedy, and he should realize that. And his strength is whip ass action.
Yeah,
and
he does it very well.
Does it incredibly well, and he does it relentlessly and unapologetically. He does not apologize, and for that self indulgent, I will see every movie he ever makes.
I'm with you. We're together on that.
Just a little bit more than I miss you.
Well, this is Kevin Carback from Fat Guys at the Movies, and the reason you don't hear Neil is he's in the middle of making out with Michael Bay and Keanu Reeves at the same time. They're having a dude three-way, which is extremely disturbing because they're doing it right here in the medical studio in the sky.
All I have to say is that you paid to watch, so...
Awesome!
Was that Michael Bay?
It's awesome. It was an awesome time.
Dude, I know Kung Fu!
Anyways.
I don't think they're buying it.
No, I don't. It's not real.
No way.
All right.
No freaking way, man. Well, you've reached our internet-only segment.
Which is why we have three dudes doing it in the room.
Don't worry, next week.
Do that on the radio.
Next week, it'll be all girls. Or not.
Well, when we say girls, we mean like of age.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to clarify that with Neil.
What? I don't. Miley Cyrus was awesome on American Idol, though.
Oh, my. What?
Did you see her on American Idol?
No, I don't watch American Idol.
Neither do I.
So why did you watch Miley? Did you just watch because Miley Cyrus was on it?
Yep.
Nice.
You know, it's funny because, like, in a year when she's 18.
She's not, like, in 3 years
no,
when she's.
No, she's 17.
She is not 17.
All right, let's find out.
Okay, I'm going to look at this. Say your thing. Go say your pervy thing about
Miley
Cyrus.
Whenever she turns 18, none of this is going to be inappropriate anymore.
You still can't watch Tracy Lord's videos when she's 16, even though she's, like, in her 30s now.
Says who?
Says the law. Although, here's an interesting. I knew a guy. Speaking of Tracy
Somehow
Lord's,
this puts you into a tangent.
Hold on. Type. Oh, you got her? Okay, let's see. Miley Cyrus, November 1992 is when she was born.
Oh, wow.
So she is 90. She's 15.
Perfect. No.
Yes.
No way.
Yeah,
that's
do
a
the
lie.
Math.
That is a silly lie.
That is a silly lie. That,
she's sick.
She's 15. She'll turn 16 in November.
Wow.
Dude, she can't even drive.
Can we talk about her her mom then? Because Tish is hot.
I don't know. Is there a picture of her?
Every time you see a paparazzi photo of Miley Cyrus, her mom is standing right there.
Really? I only see...
Look up Tish Cyrus.
Tish Cyrus. Well, maybe I can just link through here.
Yeah.
Tish.
Billy Ray
Tish,
Cyrus's Tish. Wife.
Tish.
She's smoking hot.
Would that be Tish the Dish?
Like, imagine the level of hotness that the wife has to be to counteract the mullet of Billy Ray Cyrus.
You don't inherit a mullet.
To create
to
Miley
you
Cyrus.
You don't.
Wow.
You don't inherit a mullet.
Yeah, you do.
You do not.
Hey, where they're from, you absolutely do. Okay.
You're weird.
In the world of country music, you inherit a lot of crazy stuff.
So you're saying that mullets are genetic?
Yes.
Is this what color hair does Tish have? No, that's Helen Mirren. That's not. Oh wait, here's a picture of her with somebody.
Wow.
No, that's Cher. No, I don't see Tish anywhere. I see. Who's this? This is Ashley. That's Ashley Tisdale with her new nose. Didn't even recognize her.
With her new nose.
Dude, you didn't know this? She like totally got a nose job, and that's what made her so like.
Yeah.
Recognizable. It would be like if Barbara Streisand got a nose job. Well, actually, though, you know, Barbara Streisand could use one.
Hold on.
I mean, because, man, she could, like, knock out.
I'll hook you up.
She could knock down airplanes
I have some pictures.
From the sky with that nose.
I've got pictures.
You got pictures?
Of Miley and her mom.
That's just Miley.
Shut up.
All right, we're waiting.
This won't
That's
load.
Still just
Stupid
Miley.
Website.
What is your problem, man?
Stupid website.
What website is that?
I'm not saying. It's actually a pretty good site.
You're going to get in trouble. Get in trouble.
I don't want them to get mad at me. Because they're the crazy gyna guys who would like find
Did
some
you say
dirt on
crazy gyna guys?
Kind of guys.
They're gynecologists. They're raging gynecologists who run a movie news website with no pictures of Tish Cyrus on it. Tish the Dish.
It's not a movie news website. It's a paparazzi site.
Oh, okay. Anyways, can we move on?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we even talking about Miley Cyrus?
No idea.
You're weird.
No idea.
Okay,
I think you started it, though.
I did not start it.
We'll rewind the tape and find out.
Okay.
Why are we talking about Michael Bay?
You were making out with Michael Bay.
I was. It was good.
And you're happy about it. Wow. I've never met somebody who's more proud of this. Okay, anyways. Now I'm very uncomfortable.
We got a top 10 list today.
Top 10 list. This is in honor of prom night. You'd think, well, because right now they're mining all the classic, so-called classic horror movies. Because, you know, Prom Night, the original wasn't that good. Like, Amityville Horror, the original wasn't that good.
Yeah.
You know, they remade April Fool's Day as a direct-to-DVD. Whoa. That's not that good. So they're,
I'm sure we advertise for it on Film School Reject.
Well, yeah, rent it and give us, or don't even rent it, just click through and see.
You don't even need
ad.
To click through, just keep refreshing the page.
Yeah, exactly. So, you'd think that they ran out of movies, ran out of holidays and special event days. But we have a top 10 list of the 10 holidays that deserve their own slasher flick.
Some really good ones on here.
Yes, and they are. This was done by me. I'm taking credit now because you just.
I didn't do anything.
You don't do anything. But
I'm just going to sit here and make fun of it.
Yeah, these are holidays and other special event days to high school students because it's always high school students. And no one does a slasher movie in like an old folks home. Although that would be awesome. That would be totally awesome.
You needed to do it with puppets, though.
Yes.
Like, it needs to be the puppets come alive and kill the old people.
Why are there puppets in an old folks home?
Geriatric zombie puppets.
I'd rather have geriatric zombie strippers. Oh, no, I'd just rather have zombie strippers.
Oh, you almost said that.
I was almost... It was zombie strippers. It's funny because the sort of the premise of the movie is these strippers turn into zombies and then people think they're really hot.
They're super strippers.
They're awesome
totally
strippers.
Super strippers.
But then they like start to rot.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, I like a good trashy stripper like the next guy. Probably way more than the next guy.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, when their skin looks diseased, that's a turnoff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, the first one is the first holiday that should have its own slasher movie is not even my idea. I give the credit to Mad Magazine. This came out in number 227. Oh, no. Yeah. Number 227 issue of Mad back in December of 1981, Arbor Day. And this was drawn by Jack Davis. I forget who wrote it, but a psycho with a chainsaw slaughters a bunch of high school kids and cooks them into a pizza at a local pizza parlor. And he's you know, cuts them off. They ties them to trees and then cuts them in half. So it's Arbor Day. It actually was a spoof they did back when they were making movies like Prom Night. So
right.
If you ever get a chance to read that, that's one of the best Mad Magazine satires I've ever read.
Okay.
Next one, Earth Day. During a drug-induced peace rally in the woods, a delusional terrorist starts to spike people instead of trees.
T-E-R-R-A.
Honest to God, I've heard that there was some tree spiker I saw on a TV show like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, we don't say we're terrorists. We say we're terrorists. And I'm like, you just identified yourself as a terrorist.
Yeah.
This is way before 9/11. So
cool.
Another one, Mazel Tov, which isn't actually Mazel Tov is a sort of a, you know, like
right. It's not huzzah. A day. It's not a day of the year.
Yeah, but it encompasses a mad Moyle starts a rampage of killings via circumcision at bar mitzvahs. I just anything Jewish I threw in there.
Starring Jerry Seinfeld.
Starring Jerry. Like, what is with the circumcisions? Anyways, St. Patty's Day, Warwick Davis revised his classic role as a leprechaun to fight a slasher who is killing people with potatoes and whiskey.
Wait, so the leprechaun's the good guy?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
It's sort of like, you know, they sometimes do that. They'll switch it around. Like, who was it in the Freddy versus Jason? One of them kind of turned into the good guy at the end.
Jason.
Was it Jason that turned into the good guy? I don't know.
I didn't watch it enough.
That's because you're a woman.
It was a stupid movie.
Whatever. Sweetest Day, which actually we've gotten a lot of good responses to this one.
I have a feeling that a lot of people want to see a slasher day because there are a lot of people who get angry around this day.
Well, it's a former Hallmark store employee who recently breaks up with his girlfriend, goes berserk, and kills anyone buying a card that it's not for a real holiday.
Wow.
And like I said, we've gotten some pretty positive responses. I swear,
we should have copyrighted all these before we made this up.
We did. It is copyrighted because it's published.
All right, cool.
By the law, by act of creation. I think what we need to do is we need to send this to the studios.
Yeah.
And say all that, we want is our name on the title, our name in there somewhere, and like
$20.
Yeah, like $50. I mean, something like that. Then
and we want to see the movie before anybody else, because.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The other one, next one is Senior Skip Day. A mysterious killer is slashing his way through the class of 2009, but no one knows because they're all skipping class. I've heard that there's actually a movie called Senior Skip Day.
I don't know.
Or something
it's
like that.
It's not a slasher flick.
But it's not a slasher flick. Yeah. And then President's Day, a psychopath thinks he's George Washington and starts to chop people down like cherry trees. An interesting twist, he confesses to the cop via cryptic Zodiac notes, each letter starting with a line, I cannot tell a lie.
Wow, you've really gone too far.
This could actually work. This could actually work.
That's the scary part.
Flag Day. A patriotic veteran loses touch when he's denied his pension, so he starts to kill people by wrapping them up and suffocating them in the American flag.
I don't think that one would ever get made.
No.
Unless Oliver Stone got behind it.
I'm going to skip to the last one because the next one I kind of want to save for last. But
okay.
Columbus Day, a crazy killer is dressed up in his fabulous Spanish 15th century explorer costume, killing people by stealing their land and infecting them with smallpox.
Oh, man.
And then my personal favorite would be Black History Month. This would be a great day. Snoop Dogg plays a former cop who must stop a killer from committing a random murder on each of the 28 days of February. Chris Rock, as his SNL character, plays Nat X as a police chief who says, the man made Black History Month only last 28 days, and that will save two or three lives this month.
You're such a racist.
No, that's played off of Chris Rock's.
But who gets killed in the movie?
I'm not even going to venture to guess.
White people?
Maybe white people.
I think they should get killed.
Maybe Korean shop owners. It'll be Street Kings Part 2.
I think all the white people should get killed.
Only 28 of them could get killed.
Oh. So weird.
You're depressed.
This is really weird.
But we've gotten some positive responses. People have.
I know. People actually agree with this list, which means like no one's going to read it.
Yeah, and Josh Ratty from Strong Words offered up one eighth grade field trip.
The best part
Terror has Six Flags Over Hell.
Starring Jay Baruchel and Michael Cera.
Who's Jay Baruchel?
The other guy from Knocked Up, the kid with
the guy who has who never shaved?
No, the other guy.
Oh.
I don't know. Whatever. Okay. What are we talking about? I don't have anything else.
Don't we have a roundup to do? Don't we have to do a sound off?
Who cares? About news.
What happened in news this week?
No, nothing.
You run a news site on the internet.
Yeah, but no news happened this week. It was really lame.
Joker pictures.
Well, there were Joker pictures that we put up and then took down.
No, but they're talking about cutting a scene from the Dark Knight.
They're talking about cutting a scene from the movie where the Joker plays dead in the body bag. You know, they're like, could be bad because, Heath Ledger's dead.
I had heard that the fact is that the Joker beforehand gets a massage and takes a bunch of pills.
Oh. See, people like you are the ones that make it inappropriate. Otherwise, it's okay. It's a work of art. But no, Kevin.
My obnoxious comments themselves are a work of art.
George Lucas is suing the guy who made the design for the Stormtrooper helmet because he took the design and is like selling it for.
Well, he beat him in court in America. It's just he has to go over to England.
Who cares? Who cares?
Which I would have loved to have seen video of that trial with them in there, because you have to admit. I love the British,
yeah,
but
they're crazy.
Get some new costumes for your little courtroom dramas, please, because right. they're wearing wigs and having robes. I mean, put on just a suit for crying out loud. But I could just see them, these stuffy old men with these barristers with wigs and robes
and
arguing over stormtroopers in the room.
Yeah. Uwe Boll was pissed off.
Lashed out at Michael Bay and George Clooney.
Lashed out at Michael Bay, which is funny. But if you didn't hear the Uwe Boll story, this is actually kind of funny. There was a petition online for him to stop making films. You know, and about like 18,000 people had signed it. And he did an interview with Twitch Film, and they asked him about it. And he said, 18,000 is nothing. If 1 million people sign this petition, I will never make another film again. So everybody on the internet was like, wait a minute, seriously? And he's like, yeah, seriously. So it went from like 18,000 to like 150,000, like overnight.
I know it's over that. Let's see. I'm gonna actually looking up how many. We have 172,833 signatures.
Yeah. So and it went crazy. And then he made a response to it. He made a little video where we should play that video. I think we should just play the audio.
Okay, we'll play the audio clip right now.
All right.
Here we go. Well, there you go.
And there you have it. He definitely calls out Michael Bay and Eli Roth, and he says he's the only genius in the industry.
No. That's not what he says. He says, no.
We just listened to it,
No,
damn
no,
it.
This is what he says. Hold on a second. I'm pulling up the quote here. He says, I'm the only genius in the whole fucking business. I can't do a good British German accent, but neither can Uwe Boll, apparently.
So the best part was the responses that came from Eli Roth and Michael Bay.
Yeah.
And Michael Bay is just like, yeah, he's a sad dude. Like, he's just calling out for help. And
well,
trust me, if Michael Bay pities you for being like a bad filmmaker, I mean, you've hit rock bottom, because for all the greatness that is Michael Bay, he understands that there are a lot of people that don't like his films.
Well, and I'll let you in on a little secret. We are doing a response. I have a response to this as well.
I can't even believe we're going to put this up on the web.
You can go to filmschoolrejects.com and find it.
It's going to be funny.
All right, are we done?
I think so. I don't really have... let's talk about the sci-fi marathon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to a sci-fi marathon.
Next week, the 19th and the 20th, Kevin and
Now you're
I,
eager to talk about it because you just spent money on the tickets.
I just
finally
spent $110 on three freaking tickets. What a waste. but we will be at the 24-hour sci-fi marathon. It starts at 12 noon on Saturday the 19th at the Drexel Theater on the east side of Columbus. So if you live in and around Columbus, Ohio,
or not, fly in.
Or fly in, and you would like to meet myself and Kevin and Brian Gibson from Film School Rejects.
And Patricia Neal.
And Cole Abias from Film School Rejects. And Patricia Neal from...
Who's like the lamest guest ever? And the guy who was running it is like, she's the greatest. She's won an Academy Award. She won it for like HUD in like 1960 or two.
Yeah, exactly.
And I've seen a picture of her recently. I mean, she looks like my grandmother. Yeah, I mean, it's just... Yeah.
It'll be cool, though. They're going to play some cool movies, though. There's The Andromeda Strain.
The original. Yeah, not the
Yeah.
Not the miniseries.
The film 1984, Clockwork Orange, Stranger from Venus.
Which is better than Stranger from Uranus.
Yeah. Wow. The Day the Earth Stood Still, the original. And that's actually kind of cool because they're making doing the remake.
Yeah.
And Pitch Black, starring...
Well, and they're showing the original pilot of Battlestar Galactica, the original from 1978.
Wow.
They're also going to be showing Big Man Japan.
Which I've heard is pretty cool.
A wacky, wacky movie.
Yeah. So for more information about that, you can hit their website, was scifimarathon.com.
Scifimarathon.com.
It's a pretty easy one to remember. So if you're in and around Columbus, or if you'd like to come on out for that, I know tickets are still available, and we will be there, so that is reason enough. And that's all I have to say about that. So... Break.
Well, if you don't want to go to the theater to see movies, and I can see that as a distinct possibility this weekend.
Because you really want to try your luck with prom night.
You can try. I mean, the guy in Australia gave it 4 out of 5 stars. And what are you doing? You're scratching. I think the microphone's picking that up. It sounds like you're dragging sandpaper across a dance floor or something.
It's my awesome beard.
It's your awesome beard.
Yeah. You might have to shave it off. It's getting warmer.
I feel like I'm in the room with somebody from the Taliban.
You might be. So I would watch what you say.
Oh, that's right. Anyways, it's time for the DVD roundup where we talk about recipes.
Pampered Chef.
Yes.
So
you should get something free for that for the 12
weeks. For the amount that I spend on Pampered Chef today, yes. I should get a lot of free stuff.
Yeah.
Anyways.
You should have a party.
I'm going to.
You really should.
I have a good friend who does the Pampered Chef.
It's thing. A great way to
get
actually
free stuff
get
and
free
meet
stuff.
Girls. I can invite I could just walk around the campus of Ohio State and be like, hey, you're hot. Do you want to come to my Pampered Chef party?
And you would be sitting here alone when the time came.
Hey.
If
you ask enough people, some will show up.
Ask enough people.
Eventually you're going to get to somebody who's like, yeah, I really just have nothing going
on. They take pity on you. They're like, where's your address again?
So, yeah, exactly.
Anyways, DVD roundup. Neil, do you want to start it off?
Yeah, my pick is Juno, but it doesn't come out until next week. So I guess by default I have to take There Will Be Blood, which is a terrible DVD release because the special features blow.
For the 2-disc or the 1-disc?
I don't know which one I got.
Did it have 1 or 2 discs?
How it hard had is two that? Discs. It was really disappointing.
Like, how long did it take?
For a movie that is apparently the greatest movie of all time.
I wouldn't say that.
There are film critics out there that have said this.
No. In the Name of the King is the greatest movie of all time.
Every Uwe
by the
Bowl
real
movie.
Genius Uwe Boll. Oh, by the way, was it Cole on Film School Rejects who said that he'd watch every single Uwe Boll movie ever made if this petition goes through.
Yeah. I want the petition to go through now just to see him have to watch that.
I just want to have a camera there when he emerges from his cocoon. Because it's like 40 hours or something like that.
It's terrible. 40 hours of Uwe Boll. But yeah, no, There Will Be Blood. I mean, it's a great movie. I think if you haven't seen it, go get it. Go rent it. But the DVD was just a disappointment. So.
Okay. Well, that was a nice, solid endorsement. My movie is Resurrecting the Champ. Did you see this?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
Do you remember it?
Kind of.
Who's in this movie? Let me ask you a question. Cedric the Entertainer in this movie?
Oh, yeah. This is the one with Samuel L. Jackson where he plays the boxer. Yeah. Where it's like it's the guy that Dave Chappelle, you know, Dave Chappelle's crack guy?
Yeah.
What is his name? Tyrone Wiggins?
Whatever.
And that's basically Sam Jackson doing his best Dave Chappelle crack addict.
Did you like the movie?
I thought it was good. I thought it was all right.
I love this movie. It was one of my favorite of the year.
You goo it all over.
Completely got lost. Nobody else saw it.
It's got Rachel Nichols in it.
Yeah, but she's like just like his. She's like Josh Hartnett's like researchist. She's his fact checker. I mean, so she's She's in like
doesn't matter.
Now
she's
if she like showed up in a bikini every episode, people like, why are you wearing a bikini? Who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
It's Rachel Nichols.
Yep,
and she's hot.
So there you go.
But no, I love this movie. It was a really good movie about a reporter who gives a kind of like a second chance to this down and out boxer, and then some shenanigans happen that I won't go into. Rod Lurie, who directed The Contender, directed this. I actually interviewed him.
I know.
And he called me on the carpet on one of my reviews.
Yeah,
you could tell he really wanted to ask me why I was so hard on Commander in Chief, but he never did.
Should have made a better movie.
Good guy, though. Very good filmmaker.
Yeah, cool. What about the stinkers?
Stinkers.
What should you absolutely avoid at all costs?
It's the preach. It's you can either go to church or you can go see Lions for Lambs and hear Robert Redford preach about the war. Or you can rent The 11th Hour and have Leonardo DiCaprio preach about the environment. You didn't like either of these, did you?
I didn't see 11th Hour.
You didn't see 11th
Hour? Lions for Lamb was a piece of crap, though.
Yeah, so was The 11th Hour. Man. Boring.
I love Meryl Streep, but she just didn't.
I'm not going to like her in Mamma Mia, though. She looks terrible.
Looks awesome.
She's old.
It's going to be awesome.
Might as well have, like, Patricia Neal.
Patricia Neal, once again. Cool. Well, let's wrap up these reviews.
Oh, I got a great this has to do with Lions for Lambs. I had a dream.
This is not going well.
I had a dream that for some reason, like, you and I were at some film festival and we were hobnobbing with celebrities.
Yeah.
And it was me and Robert Redford, and I think Paul Newman was there. And you were there, and then somebody else who I can't remember who it was. And I'm like, yes, that movie was so boring. I started, like, ripping on Lions for Lambs. Yeah. And Redford was there, and then I start ripping on The Assassination of Jesse James. And I, this isn't true, but in my dream it was. Robert Redford told me that Paul Newman produced The Assassination of Jesse James.
Yeah.
So I was really embarrassed, but like completely neglected the fact that I just completely reamed Robert Redford for Lions for Lambs.
It's a really weird dream.
It has no bearing.
Can we move on?
Yes, please. We can move on. Yes, right. Yes.
We're gonna wrap you up some reviews here. The first, Street Kings.
Sucked.
Totally sucks.
Wow.
Prom Night gets a preemptive suck because, well, we didn't see it. And that's Laura the way Ramsey the studio wanted it.
Yeah, and Laura Ramsey's not in it to be naked.
And what was that last one?
Smart People.
Yeah, Smart People totally rocked.
Wow. We can't even remember the one we actually liked.
Yeah, whatever. It's been a long show. But yeah, Smart People is the movie to see this week.
Kind of rocks.
If it's in your market. Next week, we've got all kinds of movies, including a few that I've already seen, so I'm skipping those press screenings. We've got 88 Minutes, which is a little Pacino action. We've got the Forbidden Kingdom, which has Jackie Chan and Jet Li. I think we're going to get enough kung fu for like our month. And we've got Forgetting Sarah Marshall, which I saw at South by Southwest, and a pretty cool movie. And Pathology, starring Milo Ventimiglia and Alyssa Milano. Yes.
And we also have zombie strippers.
And in between then and now and then, if you'd like to get a hold of us, fatguysandmovies.com. Or just, go to fatguysandmovies.com. That's all I've got. Bye.